Now, back to a couple of guys who believe Rin Tin Tin may have rusted to death. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest on the line, returning to the show, Dr. Ben Calmery, who's board certified in veterinary medicine and specializes in dental type areas. Dr. Calmery, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Doctor, last time you were on, we began to get into the conversation about dental and what it is that you do. But for any of our listeners who weren't with us the last time, can you explain a little bit about your practice?
Sure. I specialize in the area of veterinary dentistry. I work below the eyeballs and above the throat. And and that's pretty much it. Training as a young veterinarian when I was in vet school, of course, was the whole body. The oral cavity had been sort of ignored back in the 60s. And when I graduated, I realized that there was a vast deficiency in my knowledge. And I've devoted the last 42 years in pursuing this and trying to figure out why things happen and what goes wrong and what we can do to fix it. I do a lot of root canals. I had a working police dog in yesterday that had fractured a tooth that was getting painful for it, and we fixed that. Lots and lots of root canals. I do oral surgery, cancers. Lumps and bumps are never a good thing in animals' mouths or anywhere on the body, and do advanced surgeries to fix those. I fixed birth defects, cleft palates, that sort of stuff. The whole goal is pain management, and the whole goal is to try to make them happy campers and things that we think are not painful because the animal doesn't, you think it's not acting painful when the reality it is painful as heck, and they just don't tell you. They mask that discomfort. So that's my focus, keep them happy campers.
Well, that sounds great. You know, your statement at the beginning of that where you had mentioned that, you know, I just didn't know enough about, in this case, this particular discipline. And I think that's the seed of all this opportunity for specialization, is that you personally recognized the lack of information on your part and probably lack of information on the overall industry as well, or the veterinary community as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think part of the hassles that's happened in so many of the areas is that animals do mask their discomfort. It's a survival instinct. Mm-hmm. So things would tend to get ignored because, you know, you think Fluffy is acting fine, and in reality, Fluffy's dying on the vine but just won't let you know until it's at the bitter end.
Right.
And it's unraveling those mysteries and realizing, holy smokes, this is not a good thing, that drives us to pursue this. And what's happened in the area of specialization, whether it's oral surgery and dentistry or neurology or anything, it's about instrumentation. It's about the tools that we have to pursue these things and figure this stuff out. I've been in practice 42 years, and I have classmates that are beginning to retire. And I look at them and say, why? It's just starting to get fun. You know, we can figure out what's wrong with them, and we can do something about it. We were born 42 years too soon.
That's fantastic. Nothing like public servants. I talk and joke with our vet all the time. He and I both have a standing joke about our role is basically a public servant. And as long as you assume that role and that responsibility, life becomes real fun.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, Dr. Calmery, I have a question, because I would imagine a big part of your business has gotten more fun because the equipment and the technology have given you better information for less money. Is that, in fact, what's driving the degree of specialization that's taking place?
Oh, absolutely. The computerization has really made a big difference. And what happens is that because I'm so focused on the oral cavity, I have all the equipment that is dedicated to that. And not every general practice is going to spend the amount of money that I have on the oral cavity unless they have a desire to, and that's absolutely fine. I mean, I would encourage it. But you can't be all things to all people. That's part of the problem. And if one were to have a university-style fully outfitted veterinary clinic, I mean, you're talking multi-gazillions of dollars to do that. What's happened with me is that we certainly have borrowed a lot of technology from the human field and human dentistry, so the radiology equipment and the digital systems are they're human equipment that has a human label scratched off and veterinary scratched on it. And but it's fine. It's diagnostic.
Yeah.
It does what it's supposed to do. And the really cool thing now is because of the digital era, I can snap an X-ray of a jaw and look at all the little subtle differences, especially when I'm evaluating an oral mass. If the dog has oral cancer or the kitty has oral cancer, I can pretty much tell you how far it's advanced into the jaw bones based on the digital imagery. Whereas in years past, it was by guess and by golly, and you just took a shot at it and said, okay, well, maybe it's here. Now, with the colorization programs and the things that are available, oh, no, I mean, you can see. I mean, there it is, clear as life. Okay, this is where this tumor goes, and this is where I've got to cut. So what happens is the quality of the surgery goes way up just because of this. And this is all attainable stuff. I mean, the imaging systems, you know, run anywhere from $18,000 to $20,000, which obviously is a heck of a lot of money. But when it's what I do, and I do it all day long every day, and I've got probably 19, 20,000 x-rays in the system, you begin to realize, okay, that's how I make my living.
Right.
In fact, with the digital imaging, I have my technician people and the radiology companies on standby, because if that bad boy ever goes down, I'm in a world of hurt, and because I need that stuff. So if they get a call from me for a service, they get their little bodies over here really fast.
Really fast.
I would imagine so. And, Doctor, one of the most intriguing things from our last conversation that we had was you were one of the absolute pioneers in the area. I remember you saying at one point there were less than 30 of you in the country who were doing what you were doing. And even today, it seems like there are very few people who are specializing, and yet I look at human dentistry and there's all kinds of them. It makes me wonder, based on the fact that you're booked a few months in advance, why aren't more people going into the dentistry specialization and doing that and filling that gap?
Yeah, there are. And there are people in the loop being trained in this sort of stuff. You have to understand, our dental college was formed in 1988. That was not that long ago. And because my specialty field is, for the most part, is generated from the real world rather than academia. We have to make a living and then try to train people to come on board. And versus a university community where the residency programs are set up a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So we were consumer driven. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because people would come in and say, something's wrong here. What are you going to do to fix it? Alrighty, I guess I better learn about this. And so that, yes, there are people. There's about 130 of us that are board certified by the American Veterinary Dental College in the world. So on a numbers game, that's a pretty minuscule amount. But there are people in training, and there are those that are pursuing it. And it's, you know, it's the sort of thing that I just sort of jokingly laugh. Some of my internal medicine buddies should never touch anything sharp. Stay away from the scalpel blades. They're armed and dangerous. And there are some that have a propensity for surgery, that have hand skills, that can think three-dimensionally, that can look at stuff and decide, all right, this is... I think that the biggest thing that I heard from one of my buds was that surgeons see the anatomy. When we look at something, we see all the parts because we've done it so darn many times. And there's some people that, for whatever reason, don't want to do it, and that's fine. So it's not necessary. What I do is not necessarily for everybody, but there are lots of people that are in the training mode, and we have our annual meetings, and oh my golly, we have tons of stuff out there. And there's a guy in Maryland, Ira Luskin, that has a training facility where he has like a little mini dental college, and has lots of veterinarians cycle through there and take various courses that he teaches, and he has guest experts come in and teach. So the effort's there. It's there. It's just some want to do it and some don't.
Well, hopefully more will, because it clearly is a huge need area, and it's really great that you've made this your life pursuit, and we just can't thank you enough. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Ben Colmery, who is board certified in veterinary medicine and is at the Dixboro Veterinary Medical and Dental Center. Thank you so much, Dr. Colmery. We really appreciate your time.
No problem. Let's do it again.
All right. You got it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
After the break, Rick, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to talk about emergency medical care right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.